Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Chagiga daf Beis, and that of course means that we're starting Masechta Chagiga. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Bilon Lezecher Nishmas Lo Zubin Zaltzman. Final Masechta in Seder Moed. Since the Shas began some now over 2 years ago, two years and a little bit of change. So we have been we spent one Masechta learning Seder Zrayim. That's Brachos. And then Shabbos, Erev, and Pesachim, and then we went into Seder Moed. So now this is the culmination, the conclusion of over 2 years of work, and this is the final Masechta. This Masechta is going to treat us to it's a little bit more like Hachim than it is like Seder Moed. Well, you know, obviously they overlap and they intersect, and this is the point of intersection because we've been focusing a lot over the course of Seder Moed on Yom Tovim. Right, every Yantav gets its own Masechta except for Shavuos. Right, sorry Shavuos, but every Yantav gets its own Masechta. Right, and Chanukah. Chanukah also doesn't get a Masechta. Everyone else does. And Shabbos gets two Masechtas. Shabbos and Erevin, and then there's Shkalim. Shkalim also kind of funny how to explain that in terms of it being in Seder Moed. Okay. All right, now I'm just thinking out loud. But now up to the final Masechta. The final Masechta is really back to the world of Kachim, because we know that whenever Yantav, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to do one of two things. Now these I'm going to count them as two things, although really they can be counted as really one thing. In fact, the Rambam, I'll discuss it later this morning, the Rambam really counts it as one thing, and that one thing is to go to the Beis HaMikdash every Yantav, Aliyah LeRegel, and to bring a karban. So the Torah says, when you see me, can't come see me empty-handed. You got to bring something, and so there's a carbon. The carbon that comes along with the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. So the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel means that every yontif you're going to go up to Yerushalayim, and not just to Yerushalayim, but you're going to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, not into the actual edifice itself that most people don't go into. Most kohanim don't go into that, but we're talking about in the Azara, in the temple courtyard. So in other words, you are not only Yerushalayim, not only in Har HaBayis, but you're going into the Azara, and you're going to be seen in the Azara. That's a mitzvah of Re'iyah. And accompanying with this mitzvah, I said the two things that could be counted as one. Let's count it as one for now. I'll show you later on that maybe we could split the two. Okay. And then when you go into the Azara, furthermore, you bring a carbon. That carbon is called the carbon Re'iyah. Now, for every Yantav, there basically are going to be, let's say, two karbanos with a third carbon slash idea. The two carbons that you bring every yantiv is, number one, as we just described, a carbon riyah, that's an ola. It's carbon ola. So when you go to the base of mikdash every yantiv, so you bring a carbon ola, and that's it. And the car, you obviously, you give it to the kohen does all the work. You could do the shechita, but after that, the kohen does all the work, he does all the other avodos, and that's mitzvah number one. Mitzvah number one is olas riyah. Okay. Mitzvah number two, every yantiv is also chagiga. That when you go up to the Beis HaMikdash, you also, on Yantav, bring a carbon chagiga. Carbon chagiga is a shlamim. Okay? Which means then that you give it to the kohen, but then you get back most of the meat, and you eat most of the meat, and that's what's called a carbon shlamim. Also the shami simcha, which we'll talk about later in the Masechta. Okay, I forget. Obviously, I'll be reminded. I forget when that comes up again, but shami simcha is another idea that you have to eat. Right, but samachta b'chagecha, you got to eat carbon on yantiv, and you have to enjoy, and you have to be happy.
Alex said, there's a lot of meat,
aren't there? Yeah. Well, the ola no one eats, so that's that makes it easier. Yeah, correct. Agreed. It's a good point. Okay, fine. That's so those are the two carbons that are brought every yantiv, the olas riyah and the shami chagiga. Remember back in Beit, so there was a major debate: do you bring it on yantiv? Do you bring it after yantiv? Right, is it Dochi Yantav? Is it not Dochi Yantav? So that was a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel back in Masechta Beitza. But here we are now in Masechta Chagiga, and now we're going to be discussing these karbanos in its more general sense. Okay, three prakim coming up of Chagiga. So it will come a point in time, somewhere in the second parak, where we're going to leave the world of karbanos and we're going to enter into the world of Tumah Tahara. So if you want to look at it this way, like Seder Moed, like really, it finishes off in a flurry, where we're going to be discussing a lot of the more difficult discussions of Tumah Tahara that comes up right in the middle of the second parak and gets us to the end of the Masechta, where we get to it's 27 pages, Chaf Zayin, Daf Chaf Zayin is the final daf. Okay, let's go. We start with the Mishnah. Hakol chayav in beriyah chutz becherushot vekatan. Everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of riyah, and there are exceptions. So the Mishnah over here is telling us two things, and that is the generality and the exception. First of all, we have the classic, the standard word, have a hakol. Everyone is obligated. You know what happens. Every time you see the word hakol, it means that's an inclusive term. It means that there are people that normally would not have been included that we're going to include. Who's that? So that, of course, is implied in the Mishnah. We don't know yet. That's going to be most of today's daf. Most of today's daf is going to be circling around the word hakol. Who's that generality? So the generality is that everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah and the chutz, but with exception. So the exceptions are, number one, Chereshot V'katan, those are your standard exceptions. Rashi points out over here that La B'nei Dea, they don't have das, these three. So Cheresh is going to be someone who's both deaf and mute. The inability to hear and to speak. So you'll see the Rashi on Amud Beis. I'll show you the Rashi later on, where Rashi writes that such an individual is assumed not to have das, assumed not to have mental state. Now, maybe nowadays with our ability to communicate, so maybe we would things would be different nowadays. But okay, I'll leave that for others to discuss and decide. But in the meantime, however, just from the Mishnah standpoint, from the Gemara standpoint, the deaf mute, the one who both can't hear and can't speak, is assumed not to have das, and someone who does not have das is not obligated in mitzvahs.
But Rabbi, you're supposed to see. Mitzvah is to see,
correct,
right?
But
he's able to see.
Correct, but there's a general. In other words, understood. Rashi over here says that they're generally exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah. Meaning, it's not just that they're exempt from this particular mitzvah. There are going to be people who are going to be specifically exempt from this mitzvah as opposed to other mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. But these three have no das, therefore they're not chayav in mitzvahs altogether. It's not a specific patur to Re'iyah, it's a general patur. That's
why. Blind.
No, the blind person is going to be patur, but not for the general reason, but for the specific reason of this particular mitzvah.
Right.
Correct. Okay, so that's right. So Rashi writes, "La b'nei dan inu patur mitzvahs." Okay, so now that's the story with the chayr. Shota, someone who is insane. So he obviously is patur from mitzvahs. He also does not have das. He doesn't have a thought. Right, a clear thought process, and a katan, a minor. Minor's got a good prognosis, meaning right, he's going to grow up and he's going to have das. Right, we're hoping. But nevertheless, in his current state, he's also going to be putter from mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of chinuch, which we're going to come to later on. Okay, now that first Rashi, which I skipped, is really important. Let's take a look at that first Rashi in the Mishnah. Hakol chayav b'riyah. So what does Rashi write over there? B'mitzvahs riyas kol zechorcha. The mitzvah of every zachor, every male should be seen. Shetzrichem lehitra od ba'azara berego. What is the mitzvah? Fundamental point that we're discussing right now. What is the mitzvah? Says Rashi, is to be seen in the azara. Rashi says that is the mitzvah. Okay, so it sounds like from Rashi that what we're discussing over here is the mitzvah of simply to be seen. What about the carbon that comes along with it? Rashi doesn't utter a word. Rashi doesn't say anything about that. It's not clear from Rashi. Take a look at Tosfos. Top Tosfos on the Amud. Hakol chayav b'riyah, perish Rashi. B'mitzvos yerekol zechorcha. So he quotes Rashi. Rashi says we're talking about the mitzvah of to be seen. And it's difficult. V'hiksha harav rabbi no'achanan da'atini b'samach b'isham harav b'riyah shtey kesef mashmat de'bekarben mairi. So first of all, Tosfos asks a very simple question. We're going to read on in the Mishnah in just a moment. And in the Mishnah, what's the Mishnah going to be debating? How much money should I spend for my karbanas? How much money should I spend for my olas riya? How much money should I spend for my shami chagiga? Okay, my chlokes b'shami beisol. Why are we having a discussion in the Mishnah about how much spending on the carbon? According to Rashi, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the mitzvah of riya, just simply to be seen in the azara. Question number one: Vesu atanya b'gemara ha'ara v'tamei p'tur min ha'riya b'shlam atamei d'yachsi v'vat hasham kol sheish na b'riya yesh na b'hava. Later on, the Gemara is going to make a connection between the mitzvah of being seen and the mitzvah of bringing a carbon. Sounds like the Mishnah over here is not just limited to the mitzvah of being seen, but carbon as well. And then Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. Fascinating Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that children are exempt. You know what they're exempt from? They're exempt from the carbon. Do you know what they're not exempt from? Riyas panim. Meaning that even though the children don't have to bring a carbon, because that they're exempt from, but they have to be seen in the Beis HaMikdash, riyas panim, and so therefore every child and every yontif, according to the Yerushalmi, has to go to the Beis HaMikdash and be seen in the Beis HaMikdash. And how do I know that? Hakel. Because there's a mitzvah once every 7 years where you go up to the Beis HaMikdash and the Torah says, Anashim, Anashim, Ataf, men, women, and children. So you see that there's a mitzvah of Hakel that would apply to everybody. The Yerushalmi says, same thing with Re'iyah. Re'iyah also applies to everybody. The Sutanya B'Gemara, and furthermore, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Shosh Mitzvos, Nitzav Yisrael Be'aliyah San Larego, Re'iyah V'Simcha V'Chagiga. Right, the Braisa says that there are three mitzvahs every Yantif. So the mitzvah of Aliyah, which is presumably the carbon ola, and Simcha Chagiga, Yesh Beriyah Shem B'Shtayim She'Re'iyah Kula Kalo Mashmud D'Stam Re'iyah B'Carbon Mairi. And again, just a simple reading of that Gemara over there indicates that the mitzvah of Aliyah means what? Carbon. So Rabbeinu Tam says that no, when you look at our Mishnah is not just limited to the mitzvah of Re'iyah, but it's discussing the mitzvah of Re'iyah and the mitzvah of Karban. So that means that according to Rabbeinu Tam, our Mishnah is not just a function of you go up to Yerushalayim, but you go up to Yerushalayim and you bring a Karban. That's the topic of discussion in our Mishnah. So what comes out now is a basic debate between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam in terms of what are we even talking about? What's the discussion that we're having today? So according to Rashi, the discussion is Riyas Panim, meaning just simply being seen in the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says no, that our Mishnah is talking about both Riyas Panim and Riyas Karban, meaning both being seen in the Beis HaMikdash and offering a Karban in the Beis HaMikdash. Also what comes out very interesting is how do we view these two in terms of connection to one another? See what the Yerushalmi did? The Yerushalmi says they're separate from one another. They're two distinct mitzvahs. Even though a child is going to be exempt from Karban, but the child's not going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Riyas Panim. Meaning the Yerushalmi says that a child has to go into the Beis HaMikdash and be seen in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, strange that we have a mitzvah that applies to a child, but that's the way the Yerushalmi sets it up. Okay, so are they? Is it considered, basically, let's ask the question this way. Is it considered one mitzvah? Or is it considered two separate mitzvahs? From the Yerushalmi, it sounds like they're two separate mitzvahs. From our discussion, it sounds like it's going to be one mitzvah. The Rambam, in terms of how he counts it, Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. Meaning that there's a mitzvah to be seen and to bring a karban.
It makes more sense that it's one mitzvah. Because otherwise, if it's just to be seen, the blind can be seen, the chedesh can be seen,
okay. Okay, good.
All of them can be seen.
Understood. Okay, good. All right, just right now.
Rashi is attaching them together.
Well, right, but Rashi doesn't say anything about carbon.
That's obvious.
Okay, fine. You can make that point. That maybe Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi are not so far away from each other. Could be. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah says that everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of Riyah, with exception to Cherishot V'Katan. Okay, and again, Rashi says those are general exceptions. They're exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah because they don't have das. And on top of that, Tumtum androgynous, and Tumtum androgynous are people who are gender confused. Now, gender confusion comes about in one of two ways, either because they don't know what genitalia they have, or they are demonstrating both genitalia of men and women. The tumtum is the former, the androgynous is the latter. The tumtum has a membrane covering the genitalia, so the tumtum does not know what gender they are, and the androgynous has both genitalia, and therefore androgynous is both. In fact, the androgynous is a hybrid of two words, andro, which is man, and gyn at the end, which is a reference to a woman. So they're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah because the mitzvah applies to men, and they are gender confused. We'll talk more about that later on. The Gemara is going to come back to that and discuss that in more detail. Nashim v'avadim sheinim meshuchararim. Women are exempt. Slaves are exempt. Slaves have the same obligation of mitzvahs as women, and so therefore an eved kenani is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Hachiger v'asuma v'achol v'azaken. Chiger, someone who's lame, someone who cannot walk, is exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego for a very simple reason. The mitzvah's focus is on walking up to the Azara. So if you can't walk on your own, so you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah. Suma, somebody who is blind, is exempt from the mitzvah as well. That's a specific exemption to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. Why is a blind person exempt? Because he can't be seen. He can't see. And we'll see in just a moment, the Gemara is going to discuss the connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeing us, and we, so to say, Kaviyachol, seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What about Eved Ivri?
Eved Ivri is going to be Chayef. Eved Ivri is Chayef in all mitzvahs in the Torah. Chola, somebody who's sick. Zakin, somebody who's elderly. And again, the assumption over here is that they're also going to have the challenge of walking, and the challenge of walking is going to create an exemption for them where they don't have to go up. Anyone who cannot walk up on their own accord are going to be exempt from the mitzvah. Ezu katan, kol sheini yachol lirkov al ktefav sha'aviv. Now, ezu katan, now what's a minor? Now, that's a funny question in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah just got done telling us that a minor is exempt. So why now is the Mishnah giving us a definition of what a minor is? So Rashi over here is sensitive to that. Rashi over here writes, Avamikan ve'elech, So Rashi says from this point forward, going forward in the Mishnah totally understands that they're exempt, they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego, but mitzvah's chinuch. There's an obligation of chinuch on, now Rashi over here writes, who's the mitzvah of chinuch on? The father and the mother. Right? Rashi says, point of interest and discussion, whether or not there's a formal mitzvah of chinuch on the mother. Now, it's an academic issue, by the way. Mom does most of the chinuch in the house. Obviously, I'm speaking about my house. But the but still, just in terms of a principal mitzvah of chinuch, is that on the father and on the mother? Is it just primarily on the father? Rashi over here says both. That point in and of itself is interesting. But in the meantime, however, the Rashi, in terms of understanding the Mishnah, Rashi says that the Mishnah is talking about there's a mitzvah of chinuch. At what point is there a mitzvah of chinuch? That's what the Mishnah is discussing. So the katan is somebody who can't go on the shoulders of the father to go up from Yerushalayim up to Har Habayis. Meaning such a katan is going to be exempt. But if you can handle riding on the shoulders of your father, so now you have the mitzvah chinuch midrabanan to go up to Yerushalayim. That's Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai basically puts it at a young age. Meaning you don't have to be able to walk as long as you can ride on the shoulders. Beis Hillel omrim kol she'eino yachol la'achoz b'yado shel'av v'la'os Yerushalayim la'arbayis she'nemar shalosh regalim. And Beis Hillel says no. The child is only going to be obligated in the mitzvah of alila regal midrabanan as a function of chinuch only when the child can hold his father's hand and make it up from Yerushalayim. I guess they're speaking about a specific point. Mishnah doesn't articulate, but making it from Yerushalayim up to Har Habayis. That's an ascent, that's going upward. And if the child can do that on his own, even with holding his father's hand, then there's a mitzvah of chinuch. Anything prior to that, then there's not going to be a mitzvah of chinuch. So basically, they still put it at a later developmental stage. Beis Shammai Omrim, Hari'iyah Shtei Kesef V'Chagiga Ma'ah, Kesef, or Beis Hillel Omrim, Hari'iyah Ma'ah Kesef V'Chagiga Shtei Kesef. And then there is a discussion in the Mishnah of how much you need to pay for each karban. How much you need to pay for each karban. So Rashi points out over here that the Gadol Haba Lehera Asarech Lahavi Ola Ve'ein Pchusa Mishtei Kesef. It has to be no less than 2 silver. Shtei Maos Kesef Shehen Shlish Dinar. Rashi over here says it's a third of a dinar. Shenemar V'loyiru Panai Reikam. V'yalef Begemar Shetzarech Lahavi Ola Afapi Shelo Nitnu Botor Shir. Chacham Im Nitnu Shir. And Rashi points out over here that the Torah doesn't tell us how much to spend on karbanos. That's not that the Torah just simply says to bring a karban. The cost of the karban. So Rashi said that too is also midrabanan. The Chachamim gave us a recommended slash. Let's bump it up more from recommendation. It's an obligation on the Chachamim in terms of how much we need to spend on each particular karban. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue which you are going to be spending more money on, the chagiga or the ola. And again, when we get to the Gemara, we'll discuss more about that as well. Okay, Adkan Divrei HaMishnah. So again, the big point in the Mishnah is the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. And the big point we discussed so far today was whether or not this mitzvah of Aliyah is included in it also the mitzvah of Karban. That's Rabbeinu Tam's viewpoint. I pointed out with the Rambam, I didn't quote the Rambam, but the Rambam also seems to go like that. Or no, the mitzvah is just right now focused on the mitzvah of Aliyah, meaning just simply to go up to the Beis HaMikdash, which sounds more like what Rashi's saying, although as Phil points out, and I agree, it could be argued that maybe Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are not that far apart from one another. Okay. You know how it works now. The Gemara is going to be discussing the Mishnah step by step, word by word, and the first word that we encounter is the word Hakol. And so basically now the question of the day is, and for the remainder of today is, who's Hakol coming to include? I mean, the Mishnah starts off, Hakol Chayav, and everyone's obligated, and that's a very inclusive term. Somebody who I thought may not have been obligated is obligated in the mitzvah of Alila Regal. So Hakol Asui Emai. Lasui Mishachetu Ave Chetu Ben Chorin. So the Gemara starts off by saying, well, maybe it's coming to include somebody who is a half Eved, half Ben Chorin. Okay, so first of all, how does a person get to this point in life where half of him is owned and half of him is not owned? So the way that we got to this point in life is basically at two people who each one of them by themselves, for whatever reason, doesn't want to own an entire slave. Fine. So they go to the slave market and each one of them buys share. So there looks like a good slave. And so I'll buy 50%, you buy 50%. And so therefore we'll go into a partnership over a slave. Okay, so after now entering into a partnership over a slave where each one owns 50%, so one of them decides to free the slave. Freeing the slave in of itself is generally not recommended. Reading the Torah says, lo lam ben tavodu. But still, one of them, for whatever reason, decides to free him. So now this slave is in a precarious situation because half of him is owned and half of him is not owned. Okay, now everyone understands that, generally speaking, when the slave is released, meaning when he's freed, so what happens at that point in time? So you don't go down, you go up. Well, let me take one step backwards. When he becomes a slave, in other words, when anyone is purchased, we're talking of somebody who started off as obviously as not being Jewish, when anyone's being purchased by a Jew as a slave, so now he gets status. Not full status, in other words, he's not a Jew, he can't marry another Jew, but he has status now where he's chayv in mitzvahs in the Torah. The same mitzvahs in the Torah that a woman would be obligated in, an Eved Kenani would be obligated in as well. Plus, also, if he's a man, he gets a bonus. And that is, he gets bris milah. So as an Eved Kenani, I know. laying down the facts. So as an Eved Kenani, so number one, you're chayv in the mitzvahs of the woman's chayv, and if you're a man, not a shivcha kenanis, but if you're an Eved Kenani, so then you're going to also have the mitzvah of bris milah. Okay, that's what happens when he becomes a slave. And now, at the point of emancipation, when he's freed, so then what happens is that now you don't go down, you only go up. Which means now, right, we're going to discuss this in detail. He's going to get another tefillah, he's going to tefillah in the mikvah again, and he's going to become a full-fledged Jew. So now we're discussing somebody who was owned by two as a partnership, each one owning 50%. One of them freed him, one of them didn't. So now half of him is a full, half of him has full status, and half of him only has Eved Kenani status. When our Mishnah says Hakol, so who's the Mishnah including? So right now the Gemara is assuming the Mishnah is including such an individual, Mishachetu Eved Vechetu Ben Chorin. So the Gemara says, "L'Ravina Damer Mishachetu Eved Vechetu Ben Chorin Patur Min Ariya Hakol L'Asui Emai." Now it happens to be that Ravina disagrees. Ravina says that someone who's half is not obligated in the mitzvah. So the Gemara later on will discuss his viewpoint. Okay, we'll discuss his viewpoint on Daf Dalin. But in the meantime, however, he disagrees. He says that he's not going to be obligated. So now the question now is very simple. So who is the Mishnah talking about when the Mishnah says the word Hakol? So Hakol Lasui Emai Lasui Chiger Biyam Arishom and Ispasha Biyam Sheni. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Mishnah is discussing the following scenario. Interesting. Again, let's leave Shavuos out of the discussion. Let's just talk right now about Sukkot and about Pesach. Sukkot and Pesach is a Shavuos could also be part of the discussion. Because it's Tashlumim. But okay, let's just deal with Sukkot and Pesach as our primary examples. Okay, let's say on day one you couldn't walk. Okay, illness, whatever the case is, you couldn't walk on day one, and now day two you made a great recovery. Okay, fantastic. And now you get up and my legs are working great today. Okay. So now the question is a very simple question. On day one of Yontif, you were potter from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rekha because you couldn't walk. Like we learned in our Mishnah. The mitzvah is only for people who can walk on their own accord. This guy can't walk. Okay. And now day two of Yontif, you're good. Are you obligated? Are you obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah? Aliyah L'Rekha, and again, we can add to that also the mitzvah of carbon as well. Are you obligated, yes or no? It's a simple question with two viewpoints. The Gemara says, "Hanich l'man d'amar kulan tashlum min zelazeh, l'man d'amar kulan tashlum min harishon hakol lasui emai." The Gemara says, well, if this person is obligated, it really depends. Look, he was exempt on day one. Now, for the person who's not exempt on day one, let's talk about him for just a moment. Day one really should be the day where he goes up to the Beis HaMikdash, goes into the Azara, seen in the base of seen in the Azarin, offers a carbonola. Okay, that's what should happen. Let's say he doesn't do it on day one. I'm not talking about the person who can't walk right now. We're discussing the person who can. The person who can't walk, so he should be there on day one. He doesn't. He comes. What happens? Day two, you have it's a makeup, right? You missed the test. You make up the test. You missed your opportunity to do the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. The Torah gives you now makeup days. What would those makeup days be? Day two, day three, day four. Meaning you have the duration of Yontif to go ahead and make it up. On Sukkos, by the way, you have a bonus. You get the eighth day as well, where you can do Teshlamim as well. So you make it up. Now, that's all well and good. How do we view that makeup day? Is that makeup day either A, because you missed day one, so you're given now six chances to make up day one, or no? Is each day a makeup day for the previous day? Meaning I missed day one, okay, I get now shifted to day number two. I missed day two, okay, I get shifted over to day number three. In other words, so it's not just that each one of them is a makeup for day one, but each one of them is a makeup for the day immediately prior.
Makeup is just a separate obligation itself.
Okay, we're basically saying, making the same point, but each day now becomes its own separate obligation. That's the fundamental question, and the Gemara says, and how would that make a difference? And for a person who's healthy, it wouldn't. But for the person who could not walk on day one, now it makes all the difference in the world. If you missed day one because you had a legitimate exemption, you couldn't walk on day one. Your legs weren't working. So you couldn't walk on day one, so now you're exempt on day one. Understood. But now day two, you wake up, and thank God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you your legs back, you get up, you start walking, oh great. Are you now obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel? So it depends. If day two is but just a makeup for day one, well, day one you had a legitimate exemption, so you're going to be exempt, and you're going to be exempt from that point going forward. If, however, what happens is basically your obligation gets pushed off a day, so you missed day one, but here's day two. Okay, now you're obligated. So basically, now what the Gemara is arguing is, I can hear that the Mishnah is describing such a scenario, but only if the obligation keeps getting shifted from day one to day two to day three to day four. But if each day is just but a makeup for the first day, so then this person is not going to be obligated. So, is our Mishnah including such an individual who is chiger b'yom rishon? Depends, and that's exactly the Gemara's point. So let me just read the Gemara again. So, hanich laman damar kulin tashlum zeh lazeh. If each is a tashlum one for the next, meaning basically your obligation gets shifted from one day to the next, so then good, the Mishnah is including such an individual. But if every day is just a makeup day for day one, and day one you had a legitimate patur, you were exempt, so now the Mishnah's not talking about you. Back to square one. What, when the Mishnah says the word hakol, who is the Mishnah coming to include? So the Gemara says, okay, one other possibility is that it's talking about somebody who does not have binocular vision, cannot see out of both of his eyes, can only see out of one eye. And the Gemara points out, now this is controversial, meaning someone who cannot see out of both eyes, is he obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel, the mitzvah of Re'iyah? On one hand he could see, on the other hand he can't see with both eyes. So once again the Gemara points out, this is also controversial, whether such an individual is obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, and this Braisa is going to disagree. D'tanya Yochanan ben Da'avai Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Suma Bachas Meinav Pater Min Ariyah. Somebody who's blind in one eye is exempt from the mitzvah of Ariyah. Shenemar Yireh Yeireh. Meaning the Torah without vowels could be read in one of two ways. It could be read either as Yireh, you will see, or Yeireh, you will be seen. Now, we know that in terms of the Baal Kori, there's only one way to do it. And don't worry, he'll be told if he's not doing it right. But in terms of darshaning, so there is a possibility to look at the pasuk in one of both ways. And the Gemara over here says that's what's happening right now. Kederach shabal liraos kach ba leiraos ma liraos b'shteinav af leiraos b'shteinav. Now here it gets interesting. Basically, the same way you're seen is the way you will see. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees with both eyes.
That's the wrong premise. You could for sure say that.
I'm totally fine with you saying that. It is, of course, it's a wrong premise. When we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving me any type of human attributes is.
And the whole point of anthropomorphism is to help us understand them, but
right.
We can't base halakha based on that.
Okay, so I normally would agree with you, but right now I'm looking at a Gemara, and so are you. that is saying just the, that is that. Okay, I understand. I philosophically, the Gemara is interesting. I'm with you. I totally understand you. And but meanwhile, though, I mean, I'm saying the simple pshat in the Gemara is exactly what Rashi says. Okay, what if you need right? Well, let's just deal with the Danny Gurdon. Just deal with the basic understanding of the Gemara. So the Gemara says that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you with both of his eyes, so too you need to have binocular vision. You have to be able to see with both eyes. So okay. So now we have the word Hakol in our Mishnah, and we have. And the word HaKol is coming to include somebody who you might have thought is not to be included. And now we have three candidates. I'm just summarizing the Gemara right now. We have three candidates of who the Mishnah may be coming to include. Either A, the Mishnah is coming to include somebody who is Chetzi Av Chetzi Ben Chorin. Okay. Right. Someone who's 50% full status Jew. Okay. Ravina disagrees, and again, we'll come back to Ravina. The Gemara hasn't even discussed Ravina, but that's possibility number one. Possibility number two, someone who was lame on day one, but now is able to walk from day two and onward. Again, a point of controversy, because it might be that every subsequent day is going to be just a makeup for day one, and because he was exempt from day one, he'll be exempt from all other days. So may not include him, but that's another possible candidate. And the third possible candidate is someone who can only see out of one eye, although the Gemara quotes a Bryce, and the Bryce says, no, you have to see out of both of your eyes in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Now, of those three candidates, which one is our Mishnah including? So each possibility is not agreed to by everybody. So we have three options which to go with. Each one of them by themselves are, you know, not clear.
How about an event who is born on the second day, let's say?
Right, right. Or let's say somebody becomes bar mitzvah after day one. Okay, same discussion. So the Gemara says, now it could very well be that we're going to go back to the first suggestion. Someone who chesi alav chesi ben charen. Now you'll say, now it happens to be that Ravina disagrees. Ravina says that such an individual is pater from Ria. So the Gemara says, look, there's what's called Mishnah Rishon and there's what's called Mishnah Achrona. That means that at a certain point historically, the person who was 50-50 is in this strange limbo state of not being a full status Jew, not being totally a slave, and he's just in this very strange state. That's what we'll call Mishnah Rishona. And then there's something called Mishnah Achrona, which means that there was a later historical point where basically what happened is that when a person got to this point in life where he was 50-50, 50% Jew, 50% slave, so the Chachamim basically stepped in and said, that's an intolerable position to be in, to not be here, not be there. And the Chachamim basically said, we're going to immediately grant them full status for the reasons which we're about to explain. And so therefore, what the Gemara now is suggesting is that it could very well be that our Mishnah is coming to include such an individual. What about the fact that Ravina disagrees? There are two different stages, Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona, and it could very well be that there's really no disagreement. We're just talking about two different historical periods. So let's introduce ourselves to this idea of Mishnah Rishon and Mishnah Achrona. Ditnan. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. We're going to hear this Mishnah a lot through Shas. Right? You can see on the side of the Gemara. Psachim, Gittin, Bababasra, Erchen, Adios. Well, right, Adios we don't do in Daf Yomi. But okay, you know, many times you get to hear this. Misha Chesu Ev Chesu Ben Chorin Obed Es Rabo Yom Echad. V'esatzma Yom Echad. Divrei Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says, what happens when you're 50-50? So Beis Hillel says, okay, you alternate. One day I work for me, self-employed. The next day, right, W-2, right, I'm employer.
Does that mean that on W-2?
the word employment over here is not exactly the best word because it's not, you know, not the classic employment.
Independent.
You are bound to that individual.
On the day that he's free, is he going to have to put on the
fill-in? Right. It's a great question. I don't know the answer. Meaning, how else does that manifest itself? We're just talking in terms of working. Right, in terms of obligation, can he marry on that day? I don't know. You'll see. Eventually, Beis Hillel is going
to
come.
Eventually,
I'm sure you know this already. Beis Hillel is going to come around and realize that this is an intolerable position. But right now, this is what we call Mishnah Rishona. This is the original position, which is we'll alternate. So over this, Rabbi Yom Echad Be'Satzmo Yom Echad Divrei Beis Hillel. Amar and Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai says, "No, that's just it's just intolerable. Why?" Tikantim as Rabba Besatzmo lo tikantim. Look, in terms of from the master's perspective, it's perfect. He's a 50% owner. As a 50% owner, you're entitled to 50% rights. So he's getting it. Good. From the master's perspective, that's great. But now let's go to the slave's perspective. Not great. Why not great? Because Lisa Shivcha in a Yachol, Baskarin in a Yachol. So because who's he going to marry? He can't marry anybody. He can't marry a Shivcha because a Jew cannot marry a Shivcha. Right, Rashi reminds us last week's parsha. Last week's parsha of Lo Yeh Kadesh, a man and woman cannot be involved in any type of promiscuous relations, and a man marrying a shivcha is promiscuous relations. Why? Because it's relations that can never result in marriage. Okay, it's a violation of the Torah of Lo Yeh Kadesh. So he can't marry a shivcha. Because of his 50% full Jew status. On the other hand, he can't marry a Jew. Right. So, Einu Yachol. Right, the classic question which comes up again and again is, well, why can't he just find somebody who's in the same boat that he's in? Correct. Agreed. But it would matter in terms of marriage and who they can marry. Now, the two answers to that. Number one, the first answer to that is just, how many people are going to be like that in his state of life? It's a pragmatic answer. They give a very interesting answer, and that's what I would call the 9-volt answer, the 9-volt battery answer, which is such a funny way of looking at life. But the 9-volt battery answer basically is as follows: is that you're right, he's 50-50. But in other words, you have to, right, when you put the 9-volt battery in, right, the positive's got to go to the positive, the negative's got to go to the negative. And you don't necessarily know, like, even if he found a woman who was chatzi-chatzi, but you don't know, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that, right, it's going to match up with one another. That's the Rishonim's answer. That's, you know, Tosa says it. So, so Lisa Shivcha Niyachol Baskarin Niyachol Li Batel. So why don't we just make a simple suggestion? You can't find someone to marry? Okay, don't marry. The Gemara says, no, that's just intolerable. The purpose of this world is creation, the Pasuk Nishayahu. And Tosfos over here is bothered by the fact that why doesn't the Gemara quote a Pasuk regarding Peru Revu? Which, in other words, the way Yeshayahu says it as a mission statement of this world. Mission statement of the world, L'Shevis Yitzara. The world was meant to be populated. Okay, and, not a minor point, and it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Right, for the mitzvah Peruvu. Okay, to see Tosfos for a discussion of why quote the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. But anyway, the point is still the same. Marriage is important. Right, the ability to make children is important. It's fundamental. So now, Alamin Meitikin Olam, Kofidus Rabbah, Vosos, so Ben Chorin, because of Lishtara Chesi Damav. So Beis Shammai says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to free him immediately. Meaning it's such an intolerable position, immediately he gets freed. What about the fact that a person has ownership over him? Okay, Chachamim have that power to basically divest you of your assets. Chachamim can do that. Here, however, he paid money for him. Okay, you write up a contract. Write up a contract on the other 50%. Okay, you're owed.
What the prohibition of freeing
you? Okay, again, totally understood. Again, the Chachamim have that power in this particular case to intercede and basically say now he's totally freed. And Beis Hillel says, you know what, Beis Shammai, you're right. This point, originally we disagreed, or originally we thought we could start alternating days back and forth, but you know what, you're absolutely right, and a concession, and an agreement, and good. So that's what we call now Mishnah Rishonah, Mishnah Achrona. So quickly now to summarize, so Mishnah Rishonah basically says, he's in that limbo state, and he'll be there until whenever. And the Mishnah Achronah says, no, he's not in a limbo state. The moment he gets to 50-50, immediately the Chachamim said he's totally freed.
So what does that tell us?
And so now our Mishnah that says Hakol,
huh? Why should it be not in the general category?
Under right. In other words, what you're arguing now is that it's so pashut.
Yeah, but neither do.
Okay, good. Good, you're right. Good. Feel good. It's a good point. I'll think about it more, but it's a very good point. But that's and so now we can go back to our original premise that's what our Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about the Echasi of Echasi ben Choron. What about Ravina's point of dissension? Yeah, Ravina was disagreeing in the Mishnah Rishona in the original historical period where Beis Hillel was operating with the assumption that yeah, he can alternate, he can exist in that state. But then in the Mishnah Achrona, which is where we have settled on, which is, no, that's such an intolerable position, the Chachamim immediately freed him, that's our Mishnah. So it could very well be that Ravina's position and our Mishnah's position can both exist. They were just describing different historical periods. Correct. Whenever the Gemara discusses this, the Gemara just deals with a very simple scenario of two people owning. But of course, you can have more than two people owning one slave. Chutz mecheresh shota v'katan. Katani cheresh dom yidu shota v'katan. Ma shota v'katan d'la b'nei de'av, cheresh d'la b'nei de'ehu. V'kamash malan. Did not. So the Gemara just makes the point, which we said back in the Mishnah, but the Gemara says, spells it out, and that is that the cheresh that's being discussed in our Mishnah is a deaf mute. He both cannot hear and cannot speak, and then the Chachamim make an assumption that he does not have das, and therefore he's going to be exempt. Kid did not, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Cherish Adibur Chachamim B'chol Makom Shein HaShomer B'nei Medaber. That whenever you see the word Cherish throughout Mishnayos, it's the assumption is it's talking about someone who both cannot speak and cannot hear. But if you have one of the abilities, so that gives you cognitive power, you now have the ability to think, and therefore you're obligated in mitzvos. Tani la de Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Hamedaber v'ne shomer zehu cheresh, shomer v'ne medaber zehu ilim. If you can speak but you cannot hear, that's a cheresh. If you can hear but you can't speak, zehu ilim. Zeh v'zeh arein kepichin l'chol devrehim. And in terms of halacha, how do we view them? Obligated in mitzvos. If you have the ability to do either hear or speak, so that gives you cognitive ability, and therefore you're chayv in mitzvos. Now, just in terms of how we know, this is a linguistic discussion of quick one. How do we know that cheresh is referring to someone who can't hear, and ilam is someone referring to someone who can't speak? So the Gemara is going to offer two suggestions. Number one, a pasuk in Tehillim, v'ani kecheresh lo eshma uki ilam lo yiftach piv. So first we have a pasuk in Tehillim which pretty much spells it out: cheresh can't hear, and then ilam can't speak. Or another possibility is, another possibility is that the word elaim is a contraction of the word ishtakel, is taken away, milileh's word, an ability to speak. Okay. Medaber v'neshom eshomeh v'nemedaber chayev. Okay, finishing up today's daf. V'hatanya. The Gemara is bothered because we have a brayse, medaber v'neshom eshomeh v'nemedaber pater. Okay, small problem. The previous brayse told us that if you could do either one, speak or hear, so the assumption is that you're a pikeach. You have cognitive ability, and therefore you're obligated in mitzvahs. And meanwhile, we have another brayse that says that you're potter, if you could do one of the two. So the Gemara says, the brayse that we just read is incomplete, and now let's complete the brayse. Okay, so everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah and Simcha, except for someone who lacks the ability to either hear or speak. Now, it's true that they're going to be exempt from Re'iyah, but they're obligated in the mitzvah of Simcha to be happy on Yantav, which expresses itself in the eating of Shlamin. However, if you cannot speak or hear, if you can't do both, so then you are like a shotan, like a katan. You have no cognitive ability, and you're going to therefore be pater afilo ap min asimcha. Whole pater mikol mitzvos hamors b'Torah, since you're going to be exempt from all mitzvos in the Torah. In other words, now that we see the complete brisa, or the Braisa as it's meant to be understood. So now it's fine. When you cannot do either speak or hear, so you have no cognitive ability, again, assumed to have no cognitive ability, and therefore you're going to be exempt from mitzvahs in the Torah. All mitzvahs in the Torah. It's not a specific exemption, it's a general exemption. If you can do one of the two, but you lack the other facility, so then you have a specific exemption of Re'iyah. But you'll be obligated to the other mitzvahs in the Torah. And just to finish up today, Tanya Namehach, we learned this in the Brace as well. Hakol chayam b'riyah v'simcha chutz mecher shemadabre v'ne shamea, shamea v'ne adabre shepitur min ha-ri'iyah. Someone who cannot either speak or hear is exempt from ri'iyah. V'af al-pi shepelter min ha-ri'iyah chayav v'simcha v'chay v'simcha. But still, you're going to be chayav v'simcha, because again, that's a specific exemption, not a general exemption. But meanwhile, v'eshenil lo shamea v'lo medaber, Vishota katan vishota the katan patermina simcha whole patermi call mitzvah tamurz b'torah. Okay, but if you can't hear or speak with no cognitive ability, you have no das. You therefore are obligated. I'm sorry, exempt from all mitzvahs of the Torah. Adkan. Quickly, let's wrap it up. Today's daf. We introduce ourselves to the idea of the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. Aliyah l'regel is at least consisting of the mitzvah to go up to the azara. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, and as I point out, the Rambam as well, it's included in the mitzvah is also to bring a carbon, a carbon ola, right? The olas re'iyah. In our mission, we talked about how most everyone's obligated, except for those who are exemptions. Exemptions can be divided into two categories: the general exemptions and specific to this particular mitzvah. The Mishnah also discussed how much to pay for the karbanos, which we're going to come back and discuss later. When the Mishnah says the word hakol, who is it coming to include? Three candidates the Gemara discussed. Chatzi Ever Chatzi Ben Chorin, candidate number one. Someone who's exempt on day one, but obligated on day two, maybe that as well. Or third possibility is someone can only see out of one eye. Maybe he's also going to be obligated as well. Three possible candidates. We learned today about Mishnah Rishon and Mishnah Achrona, that the originally Beis Hillel thought that the Chatzi Ben Ever Chatzi Ben Chorin can exist in that limbo state, but eventually that was Mishnah Rishona. Mishnah Achrona, he eventually conceded to Beis Shammai, no, he cannot live in such a limbo state. And finally, a definition of Cheresh, that was the Amud Beis, the definition of Cheresh is generally someone who has no ability to both hear and to speak, assumed not to have cognitive ability, and therefore is like a Shota and Katan, exempt from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Someone who can do one of the two has cognitive ability and therefore is obligated in all the mitzvahs in the Torah and has a specific exemption from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Adkan.